This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, the authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, if you want your kid to get into a good college, you do not want to miss our segment with one of the top experts in college counseling. Plus, if you thought you were going to get another 3 years out of your PC, think again. Our tech guy will explain. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is here.
Hey, Phil. How about a minty fresh mouthful of cancer? Ugh.
That does not sound good. That does not sound good. But I'll ask you about that in a moment, Jennifer. Jay Campidonia is here.
A new video game is out based on Canada's favorite mayor.
Ooh, and Chris Martin is here as well.
Phil, I have some bad news for vegetarians.
I need to hear that. That's all coming up. So let's get started. Jen, I want to start here with this story. I saw this today, and I guess there's an update. Free Willy has been beached, huh?
That's right. The bill to free Willie has been beached. He is still going to be in SeaWorld. The proposed California law to ban orca shows like the ones they have at SeaWorld got a hearing at the Water Parks and Wild Parks and Wildlife Committee today. But they sent it back for more study, and that means it won't get another hearing until at least next year. And this was a bill that was written by a Santa Monica assemblyman. But it was shepherded into the state capitol by a 10-year-old girl from Malibu. Her name's Kira Kotler. And she's the girl who successfully stopped her school's annual field trip to SeaWorld just because, you know, she was upset about all the stuff she was hearing from that Blackfish documentary about how the whales are supposedly being mistreated. They're way too smart to be in tanks doing tricks. Of course, SeaWorld says it's propaganda and not science behind that that documentary that really has turned a lot of people against those orca shows. But right now, as it stands, that bill won't get another hearing until next year because it went back for a little bit more study.
I wonder what public opinion is, if public opinion is indeed turning, because this, to me, would seem to be the best possible outcome for SeaWorld, at least for the time being, because they don't have to retool. They can keep doing what they've always felt was the star attraction at SeaWorld. But if I just wonder, if they stopped having the orca shows, would attendance actually go up or would it go down?
Well, you know, what's funny is attendance has gone down ever since this documentary came out. And it could be due to the backlash. Maybe SeaWorld says it's because of the way that all the school holidays have been reconfigured. So it's one of those things where we'll have to just wait and see. But within the next year, I think, you know, once it all settles down and they take a better look at this bill, they'll really start to think about making a decision.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a, if you can forgive the pun, perhaps a sea change in how we see those parks.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I know. I'm stepping on your toes,
two,
Phil. I know
three,
that's
four.
Your arena.
Yeah. Use a pun, go to jail. And so another topic for you, Jen. This is starting to not be funny. There's another virus cruise.
Yeah. Can you imagine going on a cruise and having to stay in your room because you're throwing up?
No.
Yeah. That's what's happening on another Princess Cruise Line ship, which departed San Francisco Monday. It's been stricken by norovirus again. So far, 37 passengers are sick. And they're being asked to stay in their room because it's extremely contagious, easily transmitted from person to person. And, you know, anything those people touch, if you touch it, guess what? You're throwing up.
You're sick. Yeah. Jay, you're looking a little peaked.
Well, yeah. Now we're hearing about these more and more often. It's like, what makes anybody, how are the cruise lines still in business after these kind of things happen? And why don't they pull it into port and literally just steam clean the entire thing?
Well, see, here's the way I see it. What you're saying makes total sense. And if people are not coming because of this, it means it just brings prices down and it's good for people that want to take a cruise.
And go get sick.
Well,
good luck with that.
Yeah. What are the odds you're going to get sick? They send out hundreds of those ships every week and one every 2 or 3 months, maybe. Right?
It seems like we're hearing a lot more, though. I think it sounds like every time I hear about a cruise ship, it's because people are getting sick on it. But I guess the ones that people don't get sick on don't really make
the news. People are having a happy time and there's no headline.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, all that close contact with a lot of people, the same people over and over for 7 days.
I agree with Jen.
Breaking news. Cruise line pulls into Grand Cayman. Passengers are thrilled. No, that'll never happen. Jen, here's something. Why is NASA experimenting with identical twins?
It's really interesting, Phil. I was looking at this story this morning, and a Colorado State University associate professor has been chosen to head up this project with NASA. It's going to test the impact of space travel on chromosomes. And have you heard of telomeres? They're the chromosomal coatings that make you age when they degenerate. So they're sending an identical twin to space, and they're keeping his brother here on Earth and studying what the effects of space travel and environment have on those chromosomes.
So who's the twin that's going up?
Well, this is the interesting thing. It's a guy named Scott Kelly. Now, does that name sound astronaut-y to you?
Astronaut-y?
It should.
As
yes,
like a bad space guy?
There's a new word exactly. For the word of the day.
Astronaut-y. No, his twin brother, the astronaut that's married to Gabby Giffords.
Mark Kelly.
He's retired. Yeah, Mark Kelly.
Scott Kelly and Mark Kelly are identical twin brothers. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. But Scott Kelly, and I mean, what are the odds that twins are astronauts in the first place?
Not, that can't be happening out there too often. All right, we're going to move on to the next story, Jen. One more story.
Oh, yeah.
The final thing. We're on the edge of our seats.
Uh-huh.
Our breath is fresh, but we're on the edge of our seats. What in the world is dangerous about mouthwash?
It can give you cancer.
Don't be so diabolical. That's a serious thing, cancer, anytime you talk about that.
I know it is. Well, this is in the Journal of Oral Oncology, and there's some new research out of Glasgow that indicates people who gargle with alcohol-based mouthwashes more than 3 times a day. Now, this is kind of like crazy chronic use
of
mouthwash.
That's a little OCD when it comes to mouthwash, doesn't it? More than 3 times a day?
More than 3 times a day. But, you know, when I was looking at this story earlier, it said 2 or more. So I'm thinking if you do it once a day, you're okay. But the key to this seems to be the alcohol. You know, if you smoke, oral cancer goes up. If you smoke and drink, it goes up in multiples. So I think the alcohol content in the mouthwash is the key here, just keeping the alcohol out of your mouth. So there's a doctor who's recommending just make your own mouthwash with something delicious, baking soda and lukewarm water.
That's delicious. Anytime I think yummy, I immediately go baking soda.
You kind of sucked me in with that one, Jen. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
What, with the delicious
thing? Alternative. All right.
Baking soda.
Yeah, I can rinse my mouth out with cheesecake. Okay, here we go.
Right. Isn't that great? But the worst thing in the world, you ever use that baking soda toothpaste?
Yeah, sure. I've done that.
It just makes your mouth taste like a dead fish or something. It doesn't seem like it really, but because it's not minty.
Well, I don't know.
I'm hooked on the minty.
Can you
part.
Add a I little like... mint or be careful with the wintergreen, right? You don't want to poison yourself.
I think it would be okay to add mint, but I think mint, you know, it's the alcohol.
Yeah.
I think mint oil is fine. It's just the alcohol. You have
Sounds
to keep
like
it
you
out.
Have to put a bunch of Tic Tacs in a blender and mix it. I don't know.
I'm making my own.
I know. Jen, all right. Stay right there. And up next, do you love stories about Toronto's mayor? No? Well, that's okay, because we have a story that's only kind of about him. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, right here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. I'm so glad you tuned in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's a new program here on KFWB News Talk 980. We're here every weekday afternoon for 1 hour at 2 o'clock. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is joining us from a secret remote location, which we will reveal at the end of this segment. Don't give it away yet, Jen.
Ooh.
Jay Cappadonia is here as well, and also our buddy Chris Martin. Jay, you are going to introduce us to a video game that's taking the nation like a big, loud, drunk guy who happens to be the mayor of one of the biggest cities in North America.
It's called Crackathon, and it's based on Toronto Mayor Rob Ford.
I can't believe this.
Users and players can go online, and it's free, and you pick up marijuana leaves, crack pipes, and bottles of booze while you're playing a digital version of Rob Ford. So you're going through all of these levels. A couple of students and a university up there actually designed it as part of one of their homework assignments. And throughout the video game, when you pick up certain things, you get to hear Rob Ford's actual quotes like, I did absolutely nothing wrong and probably one of my drunken stupors,
yeah.
Things like that. And then if you fail, if you die, if you don't collect enough marijuana leaves, you get impeached. But people are taking to Twitter and Facebook saying, forget working today, playing the Rob Ford video game.
Oh, no. And this is going viral big time, huh?
It really has caught the internet by storm. It's trending on Twitter. And it looks like a lot of fun. It's basically like, if you're a gamer, it's an 8-bit video game. So it's a very low resolution. The guy said they did it very quickly. The guy said that there's a lot of flaws in the game right now. But since it's taken off, they're actually going to develop an actual video game that you can play with no flaws, no bugs.
And try to make some real money with it, huh?
And probably try to make
millions of dollars, and then go public.
If you download it for a buck.
You see, Rob Ford should have copywritten all of those phrases, you know, that, so if anybody uses them, they have to pay, you know, trademarks or whatever
right.
It is that you have
so,
to use.
Crackathon.
Register. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people are playing Crackathon at work today.
I feel like they could talk him into endorsing it.
Yeah, Chris, you're probably right.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. All right. I'm old enough to remember, young man.
Yes, sir.
The 70s and the women's movement and ERA and all of this. All
I have
the
no
changes.
Idea what you're talking about.
Of course. But women who are listening right now, who are in their late 40s to early 60s, remember all of this. And so feminism has, I don't know, you tell me, Jay, has it taken on a new role?
Well, oddly enough, a new study from the Pew Research Center is saying that more moms are staying home. 29% of mothers with kids under the age of 18 are staying home, and the study says they're staying home by choice to focus on the family, to help raise the kids and do the housework, Phil.
Do the house? Wait, Jennifer, did you
housework.
Hear that?
Housework? No. Well, I'm wondering, isn't this just a function of the fact that the job market is really difficult and people aren't making as much money when they do go to work, so you may as well stay home rather than go to work and pay a nanny?
You're absolutely right, Jen. The study does point that out, that the economy is part of the reason why more women are staying home, because it's a little bit you can say, you know, we're equal opportunity employers, but I'll tell you what, it's difficult for a woman to find a high-paying job in this society. So if you
right.
have kids, they're staying at home, they're doing the laundry, they're washing the dishes, they're cooking the dinner. That's compared, so that's 29% of mothers now. In 1999, it was 23. And here's what's really kind of funny. In 1967, almost half of all moms stayed at home.
Did you pick this story today because it's equal pay day? Is that why you did
it? Is it equal pay day?
Today is equal pay day.
I had no idea, but here's kind of a cool little statistic. 60% of the people polled say kids are better off having a parent stay home versus putting the kid in childcare or have a relative take care of the kid.
Well, that's a leap that you don't have to make necessarily. I think we can arrive there. My wife stayed home, and a lot of it. I wonder, and Jen, what do you think about this?
Well,
does this have to do at all with fulfillment?
That's a great question.
No, I think, you know, that is a great question, but I think a penny saved, penny earned. And I think we're smart enough these days to see the benefits of not only staying home with the kids, but also, you know, if I'm going to have to pay somebody 3/4 of my salary or more to stay home with my kids and then go through the traffic and then have to buy the wardrobe to go to work every day and then put up with all the nonsense that happens at work every day, I think, yeah, I'm thinking it's a penny saved, a penny earned, because that's unpaid work when you stay home, but it's also money you don't have to pay someone else to do. I'd rather clean my own house than have someone else do it and pay them to do it wrong.
So you want to bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan?
I do. No, I want to stay home with the bacon.
Oh, you're a good girl.
I want to stay home with the bacon.
Yes.
Wait, did you just call her a girl? I just had
sorry.
A flashback to the 70s.
Oh, my
really
bad. Did I really do that?
That would have
really
been brutal. Here. Circa 1976.
Really going backwards.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, Jen, I got one thing real quick for you. A few months ago, you were up north and you were covering Bat Kid. Do you remember the story?
Yeah, Love that story. I love that kid.
That's
yeah.
basically, and kind of help me remember this.
Jen,
that's
just give us a quick update. Thumbnail on the story.
He was a kid who wanted to be Batman for a day for his Make-A-Wish Foundation wish. So they asked for volunteers in the city of San Francisco to make it happen. And the whole town came out. Thousands of people.
It was wonderful.
It was awesome.
So Jay has something new on the story.
I got a quick little update for you. Bat Kid just arrived at AT&T Park up in San Francisco and threw out the ceremonial first pitch for the Giants home opener today.
Yeah,
Twitter again is now flying off the handle because everybody's like, oh, bad kid this, bad kid that. So I just wanted to give you a little update.
You know what? Being in San Francisco on that day and what I heard from a lot of San Franciscans, and this kid, by the way, he's not even from the city. He's not even from San Francisco. He's from a little farther north. They all said it's so great because a lot of people in the city don't have kids and they just love to see a kid having a great time. And they all felt like kids romping around in the streets with him playing Batman all day. So that's really cool. It was a big psychological lift to the whole city.
I'm still trying to figure out who's paying for all of that, but we'll talk about that
cares?
Later.
You know what? Who cares? He's a kid. Let him have a good time. I don't care.
I agree. He's as long as he can have a good time, let him have a good time. All right. Now, Chris, you piqued my interest earlier. And listen, a lot of people, good people, are vegetarians. It's their choice. They have their convictions. I can't fault them for that. If you don't want to kill an animal and eat it, I get that. They are tasty, though. But okay, we're both making choices. But Chris, you have news that I can't help but be giddy about.
Yeah, and those people that are vegetarians might want to check out this new study that's out of Austria. They have a journal there called PLOS ONE. And they did a study on 1,320 people and their eating habits, and they pulled a group of people together ranging from carnivores to vegans. So they scanned the gamut. And they came up with the findings that vegetarians are less healthy and have a lower quality of life than people who eat meat.
Ha!
You like that?
Well, I think a lot of people like that. I mean, wait.
Except for vegetarians.
Who's in the majority?
I think everybody here
listening to my voice right now, okay, probably meat eater.
Carnivores.
Well, you look around, right? Hands in the studio, everybody's hands are up. You drive around town, all the hamburger joints, right? All the steakhouses. How many vegetarian restaurants do you see?
A handful.
Must not be a big demand for that.
Well, the one thing
I'm not disparaging vegetarians,
right?
Again, I'm just saying there's a choice here, and I've always had the impression, and I've looked at the skin color, a little sallow. You know, maybe the hair is a little stringy. Is it just my mind taking me to the next step, or where I want to feel like perhaps I'm better off because I'm a meat eater. Is that all that is, or is there actually something there? And when Chris said he has this scientific, statistical information, I thought, maybe there is something to
that. Well, let me give you a little bit more about it. First of all, the findings of the study discovered that leaf eaters are more likely to experience depression, anxiety, mental health disorders, allergies. There's a whole host of symptoms that they can experience.
Can I just double check who funded this? The meat industry?
The meat industry did not. It was a study out of an Austrian journal, and it's what they do.
Austrians are very pragmatic.
Yeah, and they're very detail oriented.
Well, Austrians like their sausages too.
They sure do, and they're weightlifters.
Yeah.
Sweeping generalizations don't fly here. There are some weightlifters that come out of Austria, but there are weightlifters everywhere.
And there are weightlifters that
there's some right up the street.
Californian
Jay,
governors.
What do you say?
I'm sure that a lot of people have experienced this. You go out to a restaurant, it's like, let's go to Morton's, big steakhouse, right? And they're like, well, I can only eat the broccoli off the side menu. Yeah. Well, then you've now ruined the meal for everybody. And then when they talk to you about, do you know how many carcinogens are in that? Shut up!
Oh, listen to you.
Well, all these restaurants offer vegetarian meals. They've gotten on the bandwagon with vegetarianism, especially here in California, where it's a pretty heavy trend. But go ahead, Jen.
What I think about when people become vegetarians, a lot of them aren't really eating vegetables. They're eating more bread than anything else, you know? And I think that's where some of the unhealthy habits come. It's like they're eating a lot of starchy carbs and not as many of the healthy carbs, like the vegetables and the things that are really good for you.
And Jen,
you know, and they don't know the protein sources that they need to have to make up for the meat that they're not eating.
Boom, you nailed it.
That's what I found with the unhealthy vegetarians I know are eating a lot of bread. Yeah,
and
pasta.
You need the protein. All right, let's move on. Jen, I just want to reveal the this secret location today because you're clearly not here. You're at a remote location, and it's because you're busy. You are the person, frankly, with gravitas on this show because you're out there doing the real journalism.
And as soon as I say goodbye, then you can really talk about me, right? Because I'm the person that's not there,
yep.
too. say nice things now.
But you are what? You are the main Los Angeles. Tell me exactly what it is that you're doing for NBC today.
Well, I'm at NBC today, and what happens is when they send the correspondents out all across the country and across the world. In fact, one of the LA bureau people is in South Africa, covering the Pistorius trial. So they need someone to kind of babysit, basically. So I'm sitting here in the bureau, and we're looking for news, and we're scouring the wires and listening to all the things going on around the world. And if anything happens, boom, I'm your girl.
Yep, and you're gonna break the news right here on this program,
yep.
And that's what we like about it. And we hope to see you in the studio again real soon, too. Maybe tomorrow, right?
Maybe.
Ooh, you let me know later.
Okay.
All right, Jen, talk to you soon. And coming up next on the program, if you have this operating system on your PC at home or in your office, you are in real, real trouble. You're going to hear more next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends right here on KFWB News Talk 980. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett, and thank you so much for tuning in to KFWB News Talk 980. Coming up in our next segment, just want to let you know that we will have one of the foremost experts in college counseling and how to get your kid into the best possible school. No, an Ivy League school. Does seem rather competitive, but you will hear all the tips on how to get in. Right now, it's time to talk tech, a little bit of it. Joining us live is our favorite tech guy, Jeremy Anticone. Jeremy, nice to talk to you again, my friend.
Now, you too. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. I thought I was old school with my Windows Vista on my home PC, but what's happening to folks who have older rigs?
Well, Microsoft has been announcing for quite some time that Windows XP support will eventually end, and they've extended it a couple times, but the day is here. Windows XP is no longer supported by Microsoft. And while that may not sound that terrifying, you know, thinking that you may not be able to get support from Microsoft, the reality is they're not going to be updating those bugs and problems that exist in Windows XP so that hackers could then go after them. So if you are running on Windows XP, it's time to think about getting a new computer. Something like 17 to 30% of all of the computers that are still out there are running Windows XP, which is just a terrifying number.
And what percentage are running Windows 98?
You know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that are still running Windows 98. I bet we've got a couple of listeners running it now. But, you know, another scary thing is that something like 95% of ATMs were running Windows XP as of this year.
Really? And, wow.
Which is just kind of mind-boggling. You know, the support for Windows XP is ending for consumers. Businesses do have the opportunity to continue paying for support. So they're going to have to pay, you know, a significant amount of money to continue getting updates and fixes for Windows XP, but consumers as of now are out of luck. You're not going to get any more updates for your Windows XP operating system,
yeah,
which of course will leave you vulnerable.
If you're worried about having the opportunity to call some guy on the phone at 3 a.m. for some fix, that's not really the concern, and I think you made it clear. It's your vulnerability that is the big issue, and that's why
I was at a store the other day to a guy who brought in his computer, and he was currently running Windows XP on it. And he was asking them how much was it going to cost to upgrade, and he wanted to upgrade the RAM and this and that and the other thing. And you know, by the time that they were done, they were in, you know, $500, $600, $700, and you know, the store was ready to do it. But the reality is, if you're running Windows XP, if your computer's more than a couple of years old, it's time for a new one.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice, Jeremy. Here's something for everyone. Everyone should be interested in this because we all are in the same boat. It takes forever to get a full charge on the cell phone, but there's something new, right?
Well, what if I could tell you that you could fully recharge your smartphone in like 30 seconds? It'd be pretty appealing, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I would want it.
I would want that too. I want it now.
You know, everybody's become so dependent on their devices. And, you know, how do you stay charged, whether you carry, you know, a charger with you wherever you go? Some people have those silly looking, you know, battery packs that make their phone twice as large so that they have, you know, a larger capacity battery.
Hello, here's mine. I'm knocking on it right now. Hear that?
Well, a company out of Israel has posted a video on YouTube that is showing a prototype technology that really could change how batteries are made and charged. They're saying that this technology came from their research in Alzheimer's, and what it's called is quantum dot technology. And essentially what this does is it allows the battery to take on a charge extremely rapidly. It's something like, you know, less than a minute for a device to go from not charged to fully charged. And, you know, for a laptop computer, maybe we're talking about a couple minutes, but charging a device so much more quickly than it can be done today. Now, this was a prototype, so don't get too excited just yet, but they're envisioning that within a year's time, they'll be able to actually shrink the technology down to the size where it'll actually fit into a cell phone size device, and probably about 3 years until it's commercially available.
Jeremy, Jay has something for you.
Now, with something like that, does that shorten the life of the battery that you use in your phone?
Well, I think that will probably be to be determined, but it's a completely new type of battery technology. So this isn't a hypercharger that would plug into your existing device. It does rely on the actual battery composition, the actual components in the battery itself. And it's actually a bio nanotechnology that they're using that has some nanocrystals that are energized and are enabling the batteries to charge and then, of course, retain that charge for a long period of time.
So just a bunch of technology that's well over my head. Okay,
all
got
kinds
it.
Of technology.
Got it.
No
perfect.
Idea what's in
that. Yeah, and we don't need to know how it works as long as it works.
It perfect.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I can't wait for something like this. I spend quite a bit of time moving around, and oftentimes I'm finding that my battery's dead, and so yes. This is definitely appealing.
I'm with you. It'll make my phone lighter too. When I shed that pack with the extra battery in it. All right, Jeremy, remind us again, what is Uber? I want to say Uber. What is Uber and what's new with Uber?
So Uber is a on-demand transportation service in its current, that's what people think of it as now. But essentially you have an app on your smartphone, and if you're in Los Angeles or San Francisco or any of the other, markets that they cover, you can open up your app and request a car. You know, in just a few minutes time, a car will pull up and it's not going to be a taxi cab. It's just going to be some employee of Uber's that is driving their car and will take you to wherever it is that you want to go. And so there's, a few benefits. One, it's, more convenient. Two, it's supposedly less expensive than the comparable ride in a taxi. But this is something new that they're launching in Manhattan. It's a courier service trial. And so essentially what they're doing is allowing people to use an app to, send a package or, some kind of documents across town, whatever it is, for, a nominal fee, $15 to $30, depending on how far it's going and so forth. And so I think this is pretty cool because I think this really is revealing that Uber isn't just a transportation company. They're a technology company. And so they've got this system that allows them to connect one person who is a customer to an employee of theirs and essentially, have some kind of transaction take place, have some kind of action take place. And so we've seen it in in the transportation. Now we're seeing it in, delivery of items. Who knows where this can go? But I think that this is definitely a cool thing to start seeing and how they're actually using their technology to expand into other markets.
Jay, would you call up a ride from a total stranger and then pay them after the fact? Would you feel comfortable with that arrangement?
That's exactly what I was thinking, Phil. No, I would not. And I want to know about liability issues. What's the difference between Uber and Craigslist that you hear people getting shot up when they're meeting strangers?
So in order to become an Uber driver, it's my understanding that the drivers have to sign up and complete a background check. Their vehicles are inspected. So it's not just some random person that's picking you up. And there's also a rating system. So as you are looking in the app, you're able to see, other people have used this driver and have given that driver a rating. So you can see, if they do not have a positive rating, you may not want to use that particular driver. And I think that they actually drop drivers that the rating rating go below a certain amount.
Yeah.
So it's actually something that I've used quite a bit. I travel up to the Silicon Valley area quite a bit, and if I need to get around quickly without having to rent a car, it's actually a pretty good service. And I've only had one issue with one driver in probably the 50 times that I've used it. And aside from the one terrifying experience, it was great.
You're the wait a minute. Do we need to know about the terrifying experience?
Just the one?
Was this way on a one-way street?
He went the wrong way on a one-way street.
Really?
He almost got us into an accident. He slammed on the brakes on the freeway and pulled over to the shoulder. He was clearly out of his element.
Is not an endorsement.
No.
It was one bad experience.
But I will say,
I've used it since.
This is the only place where you're going to have a tech guy who not only talks tech, but walks tech. None of those other shows have real tech guys. They just pick up Wired magazine and read out of the pages. No, our guy actually gets in and uses the tech he talks about.
Put my life on the line for you people.
Jeremy Anticone, we're going to start talking to you every week. Is that right?
Sounds great. Look forward to joining you every week.
Okay. Talk to you next time. There's our tech guy, Jeremy Anticone. What about that, huh? I don't know about the Uber.
I don't know about the one-way street. Yikes. Yikes.
All right. Your kid wants to get into a school, a real good school, but the high school counselor has a caseload of hundreds of other students. What are you going to do? Up next, expert tips to get your kid into the Ivy League. Here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, let's get your child into a good school, shall we? Hi, it's Phil Hewlett on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Joining us live is Mandy Heller Adler, the founder of International College Counselors. Mandy, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so get right up there on the microphone so we can hear you nice and loud. And here's what I'm thinking. A lot of people have kids who are looking in colleges. They're in high school, and it almost seems like they have to go to get outside counseling because the counselor at school has to deal. They have like three or four counselors for a campus of 1,200 or 2,000 high school seniors. And they're not only dealing with the seniors, they're dealing with the juniors and the sophomores, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the schools in South Florida where I am, they'll have thousands of students and one counselor, one part-time counselor. So if you have three or four, you're in much better shape than a lot of the public school kids.
All right. So we're going to start with three basic things that every public school student needs to know about college admissions. What are they?
Perfect. The first one is that your grades start to count in ninth grade. So a lot of the public school kids who don't get the counseling, maybe till 11th grade, if at all, don't realize that ninth and 10th grade can seriously impact your college admissions. So starting in ninth grade, think about your classes and think about the grades that you're getting in those classes.
So the concept of, okay, time to buckle down, is it really too late?
Well, it's never too late because colleges do like to see an upward trend. But if you start with your grades in ninth grade, then maybe you don't have to make any significant changes and you'll just have strong grades all along because they do look at your GPA over the course of your high school career, which begins in ninth grade.
Okay, that's the first thing. What's the second?
The second thing is just to look outside your area when considering colleges. So there are 4,500 colleges in the U.S., which means that if you're interested in something, there likely is an amazing school somewhere in the U.S. where you can find it. And if you're considering schools outside of your immediate area, those schools might find you more attractive because you might be outside of their traditional student.
There's good, so, there are good schools in the areas where we call brain drain states, right?
There are good schools everywhere. So, you know, a kid from California might want to consider a school in Florida, or a kid from Florida might want to consider a school in California, or, you know, the Midwest, or and sometimes it's just a question of doing a little research.
Well, now, here's the thing. I think a kid from Florida or a kid from California may not really perceive going to school in Duluth, for instance.
They might, but they might get serious scholarships if they go to school in Duluth, right? So that school in Duluth might want to put on their website, oh, we have students from 50 states. And the only way they're going to get that student from Florida or California is to give them some money.
All right. I know we're only through two items, but Jay, you have a question.
Well, okay. Like a lot of people, I'm sure they had a little bit of an overprotective mother. So how do you hey, mom, I want to go to college across the country. That doesn't work so much every time.
Well, I don't. I mean, I guess it depends on the parent. You're right. In certain cultures, students are not able to go away for college. But I feel like in the United States, it's not uncommon to go away for college. I went away to college, and it was one of the best experiences of my entire life. I mean, forget the education, but just the concept of being away and being on my own and being independent. So you can give me that parent any day, and I'd be happy to discuss the merits of letting your child stretch their wings a little bit.
Something about an overprotective parent tells me that maybe that child wants to go to school in another state anyway. All right, so let's get to the third element.
The third element is for students to be authentic. So a lot of times I talk to students and they say, you know, I really need to play a sport because colleges are looking for me to play a sport. Quite frankly, colleges don't care if you're a crappy bowler or you're a really horrible softball player. I think sports are good for students, but I think if a child is authentic and they can use their time in ways that they like, in ways that they can excel, that's far better time spent. So I'd much rather see a student who enjoys magic doing magic, or who likes trapeze doing trapeze, or who likes to write doing some writing, instead of trying to do what they think the colleges are looking for, rather than what really feels authentic to themselves.
Do you put some of that authenticity into your college application? Is there a place for that so that the schools can see what you're all about?
Yeah, absolutely. There's an essay. I mean, if I can give you a real story quickly. So I do run a private business as well. And one of my students this year wrote all about her love for Antarctica. And she started this whole Act for Antarctica campaign. It was this amazing, quite frankly, unusual interest. And when the letter from Babson came this year to give her acceptance, it said, you know, this year we had, whatever, 25,000 applicants. And this year we've accepted a student who started a business, and a student who's very involved in Antarctica. And I feel like that was a true testament to a student who followed her own passions. And that was amazing.
That's fantastic. All right. I want to steer this with the time that we have here. I want to make sure I steer this toward the headline, which caught my attention, because you can help with a particular interest for a child or parents who want that child, whether the child wants to or not, go to an Ivy League school. And is that a particularly difficult thing to do compared to maybe trying to get into Berkeley?
Yes. Well, Berkeley's pretty difficult to get into too. But when I said Ivy, I meant any competitive college. And so this book, well, I just to take a step back, I was a public school student. I went to a Title I public school. And I was able to attend an Ivy League school. And to me, it was just this amazing, life-changing experience. But what bothered me when I was there was how few of my peers were able to get in. And how many of the private school kids down the block were able to get in. And I started doing some research to see, you know, why was I able to get in, and why, you know, why so few of my friends were able to get in, and why were all these kids at the private school able to get in? And what I found the big differentiator was exactly what you were saying at the beginning of this show, was the coaching, was the training, was the knowledge. So I will tell you, I went to the University of Pennsylvania because I thought it was public, or I applied there, and I thought it was cheaper, which is obviously wrong. But I didn't have anyone to tell me otherwise. So what I'm hoping is that this book is the great equalizer, and it gives the public school students the tools to compete. It'll give them the confidence to compete and the expectation that they can go to any school that they want to go to, regardless of what their background is.
All right. So why Ivy League then? Is this something to attain? Is it more than prestige? And Chris, you and I were talking during the commercial break, and you had a valid question I think you should ask Mandy on behalf of the folks in the audience who are considering what school to go to.
Yeah, Mandy, I was talking to Phil about the fact that it seems like there's a lot of great facilities all around us, whether they be community colleges or state-run programs that offer the curriculum. And I was asking Phil, I wonder what's more important. Is it the students' drive and initiative to learn? Is that where they're going to gain the most? Or is it the prestige of the school that they go to?
Yes, I believe very strongly in fit, right? So I feel very strongly that picking the right school for your child where he or she is going to be most successful is the most important. So personally, I'm not into names. I'm not into logos. I don't need to go to a cocktail party and tell people where I went to college to feel good about myself. But I do feel that all students should have the opportunity to go to the top schools if that makes sense for their fit.
Do you have a better shot in your work life if you come from one of these better prestige schools?
That's debatable, right? So I do think there are certain employers who only hire from certain schools. So in that regard, yes. And I was having a conversation with one of my clients who works in private equity who said, you know, you can't get a job in private equity unless you come from X, Y, and Z school. But I honestly feel that if you find the right school for your child where they're going to be successful, where they're not going to take on too much debt, where, you know, they're going to crumble under that, and where they can be happy and find a path, I think that's the first choice. But once again, if that first choice happens to be a Brown or a Harvard or a Penn or a Dartmouth, I want to make sure that they can get in because they have the same tools and resources that the private school kids do.
Now, you talked earlier in our conversation about your grades mattering mattering in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
Is that when you should start thinking about where you want to go to school and start having the conversations with somebody about where to go?
Yeah. Well, you know, without sounding crazy, I think the conversation should actually start in eighth grade. Once again, not driving the child crazy, but at least picking the classes for ninth grade that will put them on the path. So once again, if you have a child who really wants to go to an Ivy League school, they want to study, you know, biochemical engineering, and it's only available at Stanford or Harvard or something along those lines, not that Stanford's Ivy League, but a top school, you do need to pick the right classes starting in ninth grade.
Mandy Heller Adler, what's the name of your book?
The book is From Public School to the Ivy League, How to Get into a Top School Without Top Dollar Resources.
That's a long name, but we'll look for it all over the place. Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Very good. Thank you so much for talking with us. Mandy Heller Adler, again, the founder of International College Counselors. Boy, that show went by in a hurry. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Twitter, As We See It Show. Thanks to Mike Stark, our executive producer, our theme song performed and composed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer, for Jay, for Chris, I'm Phil. On the next program, finally a surefire way to get rid of robocalls forever. That and a whole lot more next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.